Sam, the first openly gay player ever drafted in the NFL, has been accepted into the veteran combine, reports ESPN's Adam Schefter. Mississippi State football coach Dan Mullen has a contract extension through 2018. The deal will pay him more than $4 million a year.
Sometimes it's easy to see a difference, and sometimes it's not. Valvoline Full Synthetic High Mileage with MaxLife technology is different, and you can see why at seeadifference.com. Valvoline, 140 years under the hood.
Now, The Herd with Colin Cowherd on ESPN Radio.
And ESPN.
It's official. Charter Spectrum, America's fastest growing TV, internet, and voice company, is now able to deliver the best business services at the best prices, period. Charter Business is now Spectrum Business. Now your business can get unbelievably fast internet speeds up to 60 megabits per second for just $39.99 a month, enabling your team to be much more productive and for less than with 6 meg AT&T DSL. Add voice for only $29.99 a month per line, and you'll have more than double the business phone features you get with the phone company. Unlimited long distance, too. Spectrum Business gives you all this with no contracts, no hidden fees, and no taxes like the other guys charge. So consider this your wake-up call. Call 855-853-0060. Get faster internet for just $39.99 a month, plus voice for $29.99 a month when bundled. Charter Business is now Spectrum Business. Call 855-853-0060 today. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
We're going to have, you know how our government has like the Department of Education?
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No, I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, the last show of the month of February on this Friday the 27th. We are glad to have you along with us, Doug Duda, Jim Langan. And coming up on the program today, we will talk with Ravenna Boys basketball coach Paul Baronic. We're going to give you all the district pairings here in a moment. We've also got Stephanie Smith of the Big Ten Network. Talk a little women's hoops as the Huskers will wrap up the regular season coming up on Sunday. So we will talk with those folks. And a lot going on with the Lopers, the Huskers, the Broncos. So if you'd like to be a part of the show today, all you have to do is 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1515. And you can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Morning, Jimmy.
Doug, how you doing today?
Good.
What game did you cover last night?
I had Amherst, Elm Creek. How about you?
Gibbon and Ravenna.
Mm. So you went to the homeland.
Both. Yeah,
kind of. To the homeland.
Yeah,
I mean, your homeland, my homeland, was all together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I coached and taught in Ravenna for 17 years and grew up in Gibbon for about 20 some. So
is it okay to have Coach Baronic on today?
Yeah, he'll be fine. We'll set him straight if we can. No one can set him straight. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You didn't have any chats with him last night, did you?
No. Hey, he's always been good to me. He's always asked. So.
Well, we get ready for district finals, so that'll be awesome. And we've got girls tonight, Kearney High and Grand Island. They're playing tomorrow. Hastings playing tomorrow for the boys and the girls. We'll be headed off the state. Then we've got boys district finals on Monday and Tuesday. There's a lot, there's not a ton in the sports world when they're talking on national things, just about other stuff, you know, things that have nothing to do with sports. But once again, what what kind of drives me batty when you have to cover a four-hour show is when you run out of stuff to talk about. And you people know, they listen to this, they listen to anything. The same story keeps getting brought up and brought up and brought up. How long did we have to listen to the LeBron James Cleveland Cavaliers are struggling story?
Mm-hmm.
And who here, both of us, said, just take it easy. It's November. It's November. Nobody cares. Just wait till they get it together and when they really want to start playing, and not want to, but when they really get after it, and now look where they're at. And all of a sudden everybody's, oh, yeah, well, it's LeBron. Man. Where are the people that were throwing him under the bus 3 months ago?
Yes.
They did make a little fun of Van Pelt yesterday for doing that.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, players have a certain amount of minutes they play in a 48-minute game. You know, and LeBron's a 38, 39, 40-minute player, but he has been on the floor a little longer than that, you know, during this stretch. And, you know, the thing of it is it's better if you can win and you use 37, 38 minutes than if you have to use the 42. Because what ends up happening is you're pushing your body to the limits. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, San Antonio did a good job of that. If they, you know, they won and they made sure they won just enough, but they didn't, you know, have to win so many games that they were playing their better players 43 and 44 minutes. You know, they were getting more time for other players. Plus, other players get better when they're out on the floor for 4 or 5 minutes. You know, they're playing when it counts, and, hey, they can improve and do some things too. So it's all about winning the whole thing.
Well, anyway, yeah, it's a long season.
That's right.
It's a long season. Who wants to – I mean, when LeBron comes to your town, yeah, you want to see him play, but nobody's trying to go 82-0 out there. This isn't even the day of the Bulls, 72-10. I mean, they were just so naturally talented they could win that many basketball games. So – and again, if you'd like to join us, love to hear from you on the program today. And, I don't know, yesterday, again, if you're on social media, and I know, Jimmy, you're not a big Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of thing, but it's a good way to get out and get some of your information out, and it's very positive. And this is a positive thing. But yesterday, the Nebraska Athletic Department released about a 2.5-minute video kind of getting you ready for spring football, getting you ready for football. It's another Mike Riley era thing, but it has Mike Riley talking while they're just showing some highlights of players that'll be returning for the Huskers and a little music in the background. And it supposedly shows like a couple times where Mike Riley is got the yellow or the white notepad, the white tablet, and he's handwriting what he's saying. I've never heard of such a bunch of hogwash in a long time. Husker fans are going nuts over it. Guys, they've done this for years now, but I guess part of it too, Jimmy, is it's Mike Riley. It's new, it's different, it's not Bo. Just go back and listen to the ones from the last couple of years. It's the same content. It's just a different voice reading it. So I found it funny that so many people were gaga over this, and I assume you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, but I will say this, Doug. I'll never forget this moment. It was a spring game, and Bill Callahan was the new football coach. This was not a Tom Osborne, Bob Devaney coach disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and in the very first play of the spring game, they had two backs in the backfield, and they had a tight end. And the next thing you know, they shifted. And the quarterback went into shotgun, and no running backs in the backfield. Do you remember what the crowd did?
Oh, yeah. I've said
standing
this story.
Standing ovation.
Said this story for years. Said this story for years because I followed that up with turn into my – that was before covering the Huskers.
Okay.
I was sitting in the north – in the south end zone. I was sitting in the south end zone where the Huskers were. That's where they were, 15, 20-yard mm-hmm. line, wherever it was. And so right behind there, you saw them break. Everybody goes nuts. And I just remember turning to my friends and said, we'll see.
But, you know, when I was coaching at Ravan, I remember telling Paul Baronic this. I said, this will be interesting because there was a lot of changes that were made in the conference with coaches. And some of those guys were good coaches, but they didn't win enough games. So guess what? They were fired. Well, you know what the new coach did a lot of times? We didn't know what side we were going to sit on because when we played, you know, because the last coach, see, at this one school, the problem was they were sitting on the wrong side of the bench, see. So we'd go, I wonder where we sit at now, because, you know, when we come in, this is going to be amazing, because, you know, that's what the problem was. Or they even had teams we played that would change the entire, you know, the side. I mean, they put the scores table on the other side, and I thought, oh, that was the problem. You know, that was, man, this is going to be really tough. So, and, you know, so you get my point. You know, I mean, there's a certain thing where you just, after a while, you know, I'm sure, you know, it was a principle when somebody comes in, you know, that I had my desk in the wrong spot. You know, that's why things weren't getting done right. You get my point, Doug.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, so, I mean, the first thing everybody does, they want to make a big switcheroo and do something kind of wild, you know. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I never did that. When I was at SCM, we always stayed on the side that they had for 50 years. I thought it was the wrong side because it was looking into the sun, but I guarantee you we stayed on our press box side. We never switched it.
That's good stuff. I want to run down the districts, and then we're going to take a break and catch up with Paul Baronic here. For the folks that haven't heard, here's what we've got going on. Monday is Class C district finals, and the pairings look like this. Grand Island Central Catholic and Gothenburg will play at Kearney High in C2. Sutton and Aquinas will play at Concordia College in Seward. Ravenna and Hastings St. Cecilia will play at Grand Island Central Catholic. All those games are at 7 o'clock. And at 8 o'clock, Southern Valley and Bridgeport will play at North Platte. In Class D, their district finals are Tuesday. Bruning Davenport Shickley will play Lourdes Central Catholic at Doan College. It will be Ansley Litchfield taking on Clearwater Orchard in Ord. Kennesaw and Amherst will play at Grand Island Northwest. Cozad's going to host the Southwest Sutherland game. That's at 6:30. The rest are at 7. Anselmo Myrna Bertrand will play at Lexington at 7, and Wilcox Hildreth and Riverside will play at Grand Island Central Catholic at 7. Those games are on Tuesday, and Riverside, in case you're wondering, is Spalding Cedar Rapids. The games that we will have on our radio stations, we will have KKPR Classic at 98.9, Central Catholic Gothenburg, and The Breeze 94.5, St. Cecilia Ravenna, plus the Adams Central games will be on 12:30 a.m. KHS as they continue in Class B, and we will have Kearney High boys games here on ESPN. They'll play at Omaha Central tomorrow afternoon at 5:30, and then we will follow them. Tuesday, the games on the radio, Kennesaw Amherst, Classic Hits 98.9, Wilcox Hildreth Riverside on The Breeze 94.5, and again, continuing to follow that Class B district with Adams Central, Hastings, and the like on Tuesday. So that's what's coming up for the boys' district tournaments.
You know, something really interesting, Doug, is there's a conference out there, and GICC and Hastings St. Cecilia are in that conference, and they, you know, they were talking about the SCOTUS and the people that are in that thing. Do you realize, I think it's the Centennial Conference is what it's called, mm-hmm. eight of the 10 teams are in district finals. Now that is absolutely amazing to me when you look at that. Now, I know they were good, but I never dreamt they were going to be that dominant. And hats off to that league. What a league that is. I mean, you know, they couldn't wait to get out of their conference tournament. You know, they'll start playing some districts. But 8 of the 10 teams are still alive. Boys Town's in that conference. See, and Boys Town was about a 14-10 team, and they ended up winning their district. And that was kind of one of the surprises. You know, there's a couple that were not surprises that, you know, St. Cecilia, you know, winning theirs probably was not a surprise at all, of course. They were a heavy favorite going in. But
five of the 12 teams remaining in C1 are out of that conference.
Isn't that something? And they got some C2. That's a C2 loop.
Boystown, yep. Lincoln Christian, Bishop Newman out of Wahoo.
Okay.
Grand Island Central Catholic.
Is SCOTUS in there,
SCOTUS,
too? Okay.
That's 5. And then the 3 in C2 are Archbishop Bergen out of Fremont, David City Aquinas, and St. Cecilia.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, that's a tough league right there. I mean, if you really look at it, that's kind of an amazing
Coach Asher, Coach Martinez, they say it's okay.
Hey, here's another thing that's a little interesting with the NSAA, and this is going to happen. It may not happen this year, but it's going to happen sometime. And Grand Island is hosting a Class B district. Kearney High, I think, picked up a game with GICC in Gothenburg. And the way the NSA sets up their Class A districts is there's going to be a time when a 4 seed is going to upset a 1. And it happened in the girls already. But a 4 is going to beat a 1. And a 3 is going to beat a 2. And now the 3 can host. And all of a sudden they're going, uh-oh. Look what we got in our gymnasium already. We've already got a 7 o'clock game in our gymnasium. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens You know what I mean? Because you know what the ones aren't taking any districts right now. They are saying, nope, we are not taking anything. We're going to keep our gym in case we have it here.
And just out of curiosity, I asked Mitch Stein at Kearney High about that very situation. They would play Tuesday.
Is that right?
The game would be Tuesday if they would happen to host Omaha Northwest in that certain scenario. Yeah, because I kind of thought that Central Catholic-Gothenburg game would probably be at Kearney Catholic. Kearney is obviously the obvious choice there for that because of that scenario that's possibly at Kearney High. But one thing that I had to grin at, Ainsworth and Shadron. They're playing in the girls' district final tonight, and then they play the boys' district final on Monday. Not a lot up there. The girls' district final's in Valentine tonight. So that's 50 miles for Ainsworth, and it's like 180 or whatever it
is
for Shadron. So I had to think, I wonder if Shadron just said, you know what? That's fine, but the next one's coming our way. So the boys are in Gordon.
Yeah, there you
go. So about 50 one way and 180 the other.
Like you say,
maybe more.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't play it out in somebody's Quonset, even though that's right in the middle. Yeah,
there's not a lot there room there in Cody, Kilgore, and some of the other little non-school towns up there on the border. So those are some of the matchups for you. Girls districts, of course, are going on tonight. We will have the Hastings-Holdridge game on ESPN 1550, Kearney Catholic Central City, ESPN 1460, St. Cecilia's Centura, 1230 KHAS, Axtell Blue Hill on Classic Hits 98.9, all tip-off at 7 o'clock. Other games include Sutton-Nebraska Christian, that is at Aurora, South Loop, the Callaway-Arnold combo will be taking on O'Neill-St. Mary's in Ord. It will be Giltner and Spalding Academy at St. Paul and Bertrand-Sandhills-Thetford at North Platte St. Pat's. We're going to take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. The President's Sale continuing through the month of February at Midway Chevrolet Buick, GMC Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, they have 1.9% APR for 84 months. That's 7 years. Plus a $500 additional rebate when you finance many of the new models through Chrysler Capital. Those models include the Chrysler 200 all-wheel drive, the Chrysler Town & Country, the Dodge Grand Caravan. How about the Jeep Compass or Jeep Patriot? See Midway for details and qualifying models. You can go to thinkmidway.com or visit the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Ravenna Boys basketball coach Paul Baronic and Big Ten Network analyst and the head coach of the WNBA's Indiana Fever, Stephanie White, still to come here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Plus, it's Friday. That means Fanatics Trivia.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now at America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As some sunshine continues across the area today, we'll head up to 23 for a high. Winds out of the southeast develop at 5 to 15. Now with partly to mostly cloudy skies tonight, we'll head down to 10. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now it's 12.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midtown Mart cooler question. We had a nice little debate the last couple of days about some rule changes, and they have been brought up in college basketball. So we asked you yesterday, during a jump ball in college hoops, are you in favor of the alternate possession rule or a jump ball? What do you like, Jimmy? You're the official. You've done it long enough that you had both. Would you rather jump it up every time there's a held ball or alternate possession? It seems like that's quicker. I still don't know if it is because you just have another chance to sub.
I think alternate possession is fair because it's a jump ball. Two players got the thing together. They hustled. The two players did everything correct, whether it was on a rebound or whatever they did. Now, why make it an unfair advantage to whoever can jump the highest to get the ball? That's not fair. I don't think it's fair to throw the ball up, and one guy's going to have an advantage. Plus, who says you're going to throw it up straight? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, it's not exactly an exact science. So the other one is an exact science. You get to take the ball out of bounds. It's your turn. That is an exact science. So I kind of like taking the ball out of bounds instead of saying, okay, these two guys jump. Uh-oh. Dang it. Which two did you have? Our 5'4 guard and their 6'8 center.
You know. 56% said go ahead and jump it up. 44% alternate possession. Now, Randy brought up on Wednesday he would like to see if the offensive play team gets tied up, then the guy that causes the tie, the defensive team, gets the ball. If it's a loose ball situation, alternate possession. I don't know if that'd be too confusing. Your thoughts on that?
Well, they used to on a 5-second count. The old-fashioned way, you get a five-second count, you didn't get the ball. It wasn't a turnover. It was a jump ball. Yeah. You know, you'd throw, you know, 5 seconds. Nope. Uh-oh, 5 seconds. You couldn't get rid of it in 5 seconds. So then those two players would go jump it up. So that's what the old rule used to be. So, you know, my thoughts is it's a jump ball. I don't care how you get it. You know what I mean? You got the jump ball. You've done it that way. I don't think you give it to anybody. I think it's you take turns. And I think you almost need to do that to start the game. I know it's a nice, pretty little thing that we do, and we all run out there, and we have this little jump ball to start the game. But I think you can flip a coin right at the start and do it because we do not throw that ball up correctly. The other day I worked the Ravana game, and I threw the ball up. Ravana had the tallest player by far. I threw it up. I thought he hit it on the way up. I blew my whistle and gave it to the other team. Burwell ended up getting the ball to start the game. But I thought the kid from Ravana didn't wait for it to get it to its correct height. My other two guys didn't blow their whistle. So it was just one guy did that. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So I don't like the idea. That throwing the ball up's hard.
The Midtown Bar Cooler question, you can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. We always bring this up at the World Series and the All-Star break, but exhibition games and preseason baseball is going to start. Are you in favor of the World Series getting the home field advantage from the All-Star game? Do you like that? It was good for the Royals. They didn't take advantage, but do you like it? I do. You got to do it some way. Why not? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Paul Baronic joins us. Paul, did Jimmy throw it up awkwardly the other night, or what happened?
I wasn't so concerned about that one that Standage got early, because he does that all year long. I mean, eventually somebody's going to call that one. The other one the other night, geez, they just threw it up so poor that, yeah, I'm in favor of alternate possessions, too. It was so bad that we didn't even have a chance. So, yeah, officials screwed that up a lot.
That arthritic elbow.
Our crew the other night did a really good job, so I don't have a lot to complain about.
That's a good thing to say today, Paul.
Well, I like your song about Manic Monday, you know, kind of the lead-in, because that's what it's going to be when we show up Monday, probably, you know, we've got our hands full, obviously, so I might be a manic depressant by then. So,
Paul, in all the years you've coached, I really can't think of a time when you were that big of an underdog going into a district final. I mean, this year, I mean, you are a huge underdog, and usually you're the heavy favorite.
Yeah, well, there'd be, you know, if Vegas doesn't have a line, Jim Langan does, and he's got us at least 25.
Now, I don't put lines on high school games or the record. Yikes.
But anyway, we have a daunting task ahead of us, obviously, but you know, in Blue Jay fashion, we're gonna go into it headstrong and do the best we can.
Paul Moronic, head coach at Ravenna, as we said, St. Cecilia Ravenna, the Breeze, 94.5. I'll be there on Monday night bringing you that game from Grand Island Central Catholic. We've seen and talked enough throughout the season, Paul, that there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of changes. You've went with five. You've got Caleb Gross coming off the bench, and you've basically used a five-and-a-half-man rotation throughout the season. That would seem to be all the time a disadvantage, and St. Cecilia is going to try and make you pay for that. They're going to go 9-10 deep.
Yeah, they run a lot of guys in. And then, you know, people don't realize, you know, I mean, you can play five in the games and six in the games and get by with it. Our problem is trying to simulate what St. Cecilia is going to do in practice. It's just going to be impossible because they're athletic. You know, their second five is as good as our first five. And our second five, I don't know if they're – I don't even know they're good. You know, they're not very good. I mean, our JVs are getting beat 50-8, you know, 53-12, and those are games that you know, are consistently that way. So, but you know, simulating them is a problem, and that's just impossible on our end. So, you know, we're just kind of taking bits and pieces that we do, and hopefully that we can have some success. You know, I've probably been watching film since you know, we got the win last night, and I got on the bus, and the advantage now is you can have any type of film at any time on any device, and I started the second home on the way on the bus, and then got home at school and started watching it, went home late, watched it, and then I got up this morning and watched some more, and then I just get more depressed because they're too dang good.
Well, and I mean, you can be honest. I mean, you've peeked at them throughout the season, watched them in scouting reports. You knew when the districts came out at the beginning of the year that to make your ultimate goal, most people figured St. Cecilia would be one or two in the state. You knew this was going to be the task at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, and I wouldn't, you know, lie to you and tell you that I haven't looked at them. In fact, I probably started looking at them, you know, in January. You know, I've watched film on them and just got bits and pieces so that I can prepare our practices. Because, you know, when we start our season, we, as coaches, we put together a list of four or five teams that are really going to be tough, and we try to practice for those four or five teams. And then we figure if we can beat those four or five teams or at least compete with them, then we can beat, you know, maybe the teams with lesser talent or lesser abilities. So, you know, we use that a lot. I mean, it's not that, you know, we just don't want to go in anything with our pants down, you know.
Hey, you know, Paul, I look back when you and I were coaching, and we had a couple times where we were a pretty big underdog. One was at Sandy Creek when they were 21-1, and one time we went to West Holt when they were undefeated. We barely got through our district to get to play them, and we were looking so far in front, we about got – we had to hang on in double overtime. We had to do that. Talk a little bit about how your kids stepped up, because I thought they played well, and I thought you had some other kids that maybe hadn't produced for you all year long that really stepped up in the Burwell game and stepped up again last night and hit some big threes in the first half.
Absolutely. You know, we shot 9 for 21, I think, from three last night, and that hasn't happened very often. We're not a great outside shooting team. One game we went 0 for 18 from three, and the same kid shot them. We had a lot of guys step up. Caleb Gross came in and hit a couple nice threes, and he's playing with a broken nose. Kobe Shermer has played really solid and hit some shots. Michael Bauer, you know, he cut his finger in biology class because he's screwing around with a hot plate and put it in cold water, and it snapped. So I had to deal with a lot of stuff yesterday with him and patched him together, and the medicine made him sick, and he was on the toilet all night and during the game and during halftime. So a lot of guys stepped up and did some good things. And, you know, we have our own form of killer bees, too. We have Brady and Blake, and a lot of people put a lot of attention on them, and you know, we're just fortunate to have those two players, but we're also fortunate to understand that our team understands that, you know, we have to get them the ball, and if they're getting a lot of attention, that we're going to have to come through and at least make some plays if I'm the you know, I hate the word role player, but you know, if I'm not the main gun, I've got to do something.
Paul Moronic, head basketball coach at Ravenna, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They'll play St. Cecilia in the district final on Monday, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I think Brady Standage is the most underrated player in our area, and he's not from the guys that play him, and he's not at Ravenna. But, I mean, You don't see him on the front page every other week. He didn't have a lot of bells and whistles attached to him as the season started, and he is getting double-teamed, triple-teamed at times because they know that he can get you 20 and 10 any night. He continues to perform. How's he holding up?
You know, good in most cases. He got frustrated last night and set an on-ball screen that and his forearm shimmered a guy, and the referees that we had were so good there last night that they saw that, dang it. And the kids get frustrated. You know, they want to be able to score. They want to be able to do things, and Brady's no different. You know, I've had to deal with Connor Baronic my whole life. You know, he's pain in the rear too, you know, and Drake, pain in the rear. Got them all like that. So whenever people get attention like that and their jerseys grabbed all the time, you know, you got to play through things. You got to man up, and that's a term we use a lot, you know, setting a screen, man up, you know, playing through toughness, man up. You know, he finally made up his mind to go to the rim strong, and one of the referees running by, I said, geez, and that's what he's got to do is just kind of man up and get after it and quit whining about calls and whining about stuff. But, you know, he is an 18-year-old kid and frustrated. You know, I understand those things, but we have to maintain some type of a composure when we play St. Cecilia or it's going to get ugly for us in a hurry.
Well, without divulging a whole lot here, what are the specifics that St. Cecilia continues to do that gives everybody they play problems and that you have to take care of Monday?
Well, you got to start with, you know, pressure defense. I mean, they just defend like they're flying all over it and making it very tough for you to drive, making it very tough for you to pass. You know, they're not a pressing team by any means. They are just a half-court aggressive defense. You know, a type of thing that Asher brings to the table as a coach, and his teams are always going to be physically strong, and they're going to play hard defense, and they're going to be fundamentally sound. You know, when you watch their kids on offense, they all shoot it well. They all can put it on the deck well. They move extremely well when you're playing man-to-man on them, and it's just, you know, they just have a lot of good things. So, you know, we thought it would be a huge advantage if we just play at another Catholic school versus a Catholic team and play at GICC because what the heck, you know, we don't have Snowball's chance in Bulgaria anyway. So,
well, I know Coach Asher's not going to say that. He's going to be fired up and ready to go on Monday. So I know you'll probably take in a basketball game tomorrow and you'll probably be watching one from on the road. And you got your boys that are going to be busy tomorrow and you got to take care of the ones you got now. So we'll let you get back to work.
Well, and, you know, that's things that people don't realize I do. And, you know, and Jim talked about it way back when we had a couple teams that we really didn't have a chance of beating. And we, you know, Ravenna's always found a way to do that. And I learned that from Langan. You know, Coach Langan really taught me how to do those types of things and be prepared, even though we're a huge underdog. So, you know, but people don't realize, too, that I'm a family guy. I'm a dad. And, you know, I've got a son that's going to be coaching at Holdridge Saturday. And he's got a district game, so I got to feel pains there. And I got another son. If they could win that game, they could be third in the MIAA, which is, you know, haven't happened for a long time at UNK. So I'm watching that game. My wife's down there watching that, so we're kind of apart from each other. That's why I've been able to watch a lot of film without her, you know, throwing a pillow at me and telling me to get my head out of my rear. So, but I love it. I wouldn't change it for anything. And, you know, and if I ever do give this up, you're the first guy I'm calling, and we're going to have a sit-down. I'm going to just come to your station, and me and Langan and you are going to sit down, and we're going to have a whale of a time.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, Paul, I'll tell you what. Your kids stepped up. They were the favorite, but not a great high favorite to win the sub-district, but they did that. And, you know, that one thing about it, when they get done with it, you know, and if it doesn't go well at St. Cecilia, at least you went as far as you could go. So I think, you know,
absolutely.
Hats off to those kids. And, hey, I thought Tony's kid
absolutely.
Played. I thought Tony Shermer's kid, and I was happy to see him. And I thought Blake played real well that first night. I mean, unbelievable. So, hey, you had some good good things happen to you there. So, hey, good luck to you, Paul.
Thank you, guys, and I appreciate you guys calling over and giving us some time here. And, you know, we know we're going to go in there and do the best we can, and we're dealt the cards we are. You know, we just got – a couple farm kids, a couple teachers' kids, and a couple guys that maybe, you know, drop off garbage somewhere too. You know, we've got our hands full in a lot of areas there. So.
He's going to follow that up with, don't know how we won this many games. But Paul Baronic, head coach at Ravenna, he's got a few rings. Hey, Paul, thanks for the time. See you Monday, buddy.
All right.
That's Paul Baronic, head coach of the Ravenna Blue Jays, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. On the Dead Popper inbox, it says, really, Jim? You had an inadvertent whistle? I don't think it was an inadvertent whistle. You just blew your whistle. But we've talked about a lot of stories. But he says, I will have to say to you, hats off. Being an official is tough, and we are all human. We strive for perfection in officiating, but it happens. Thanks for all the hard work that you do.
Yeah,
some Jimmy Love.
Yeah, thank you for that. But, yeah, I did not have an inadvertent whistle. I don't know.
Not last night.
No, I don't think I've had one since.
Ever?
I had one against Wilcox, played Hildreth one time, and a player stole the ball and slapped it out of a guy's hand and pushed it to the floor and then got it and then dribbled. And I called him for double dribble. And they go, nope, that's wrong. And I went over to the scoreboard. Well, that's incorrect. He did not double dribble. And I gave him the ball back. We went in bounds. But that's an inadvertent whistle.
That's been a while ago.
Yeah. But it was at a good time. It wasn't when the ball was in the air going in for a basket.
It's always a good time to have a little sandwich from Big Daly's Deli, located at 610 East South Street in Hastings. All sandwiches are served with your choice of freshly baked bread or bun. Cheese of your choice, put on the fresh veggies and condiments with the dill pickle spear on the spine. And you can, of course, get the Big Daly's Deli combo meal, chips, potato salad, fruit cups, side salad, homemade soup, desserts, cookies. You can choose from it all. Have your favorite drink. And it's the home of a bazillion and one sandwiches, because too many is better than not enough. And if you got a little party going on or a little get together at home or at the office, Big Daly's Deli also offers meat and cheese trays and special sandwiches for special events. Big Daly's Deli in Hastings. We'll be back after this.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing, or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport, done right.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with...
The Nebraska women will wrap things up with Ohio State coming up on Sunday, and then it's into the Big Ten tournament. And from the Big Ten Network, and we were joking a little bit before we went on, coach of the Indiana Fever, a champion at Purdue. She's got all kinds of things to talk about. Stephanie White, BTN analyst, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Stephanie, thanks for the time. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to catch up with you and welcome you to the show, and kind of getting into an exciting time here. And there's a lot of storylines when it comes to Big Ten women's basketball, but I want to start with the Huskers, obviously. You got a chance to see them in person latest when they took on Minnesota. And I think a lot of people, even Husker fans, were surprised at the effort that night, considering what Minnesota had been doing here the last couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I need to get a condo in Lincoln, because I've been at Nebraska a lot this year. No, it's been a lot of fun, and I think the biggest surprise for Nebraska, in the absence of Rachel Terrio, you know, those first two games, they struggle a little bit, but they're still right there on the road at Rutgers, on the road at Maryland. You know, have had some issues, and then come back and really just floor you with the way they played against Minnesota. I think it's a team who has learned how to play without Terrio. I think it's a team that's very veteran in terms of their experience, and they executed the game plan perfectly. And, you know, Connie always does such a good job of game planning on the defensive end. And it's a team that plays within themselves. They understand their strengths and weaknesses. They play well together, and they're just a lot of fun to watch.
How did they slow down Zowie B, the National Player of the Week, after such a big performances against Iowa and Michigan?
Well, they challenged other people to step up, and one of the things that happened was they played behind her in the post, but they sat that opposite post player who was guarding the high post right on top of her in front. So they took away all the passing angles inside to Zowie, and they challenged Minnesota's other players to knock down perimeter jump shots. And they weren't able to do that. I mean, you have to pick your poison when you're playing a team like Minnesota, who has a terrific inside presence, and play the percentages, so to speak. And that's what the Huskers did. They challenged them to hit contested jump shots from the perimeter, and Minnesota didn't answer the challenge.
Talking with Stephanie White of the Big Ten Network here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN. As we look at what Nebraska was with Terrio and what they were not, it seemed like they weren't able to close out probably a depth situation without her. Now what do you see that is different about this team?
I see a team that has more confidence because you have players like Natalie Romeo, who's been really thrown out there in the fire right now, and she's taken more confident shots. She's being more aggressive to the rim. Chandler Smith, who's coming off the bench, who's getting more minutes, who might not be as productive as Romeo is, but still gives them depth at that perimeter position. I think you're seeing Emily Cady shoulder more of the offensive load. Haley Sample maybe shoulder a little bit more of the offensive load. And what I liked about what I saw on the other Tuesday night was T. Laudermill's defense. I mean, Rachel Terrio's gone down, and T. Laudermill has stepped up her intensity on the defensive end. It's easy to see her offensive numbers. You know, you don't replace what Terrio brings with just one person. You have to do it collectively, and I think it's a team who has weathered the storm, who has other players that are continuing to step up and play more confident basketball on both ends of the floor, and you see the ultimate team concept, and that's what I love most about watching Nebraska.
Stephanie, we go into this final weekend, and obviously there's some big games out there, but in my opinion, maybe this game for Nebraska doesn't mean a whole lot. They're the seventh seed in the tournament. They're playing an Ohio State team that has more to play for, although it's in Lincoln, so the atmosphere will be outstanding. And right now, they're looking to be on that 8-9 line in the NCAA tournament. Nobody wants to be on the 8-9 line. What does Nebraska have to play for on Sunday?
I think you play for pride. I think you play to continue to get better. I think you play to maybe improve your NCAA tournament seeding. I mean, this is a team who knew that they needed to win against Minnesota or Ohio State to get into the NCAA tournament. Now, with some of the upsets that have gone on, I mean, even last night, you've got Wake Forest beating Miami, you've got Georgia Tech beating Duke on the ACC side. So that drops some of those other seeds, and you are really looking to improve your NCAA tournament seeding. You know, if you're Nebraska, you're probably still looking for an opportunity at maybe a six seed to host because you have a team in Louisville who can't host in the first round. They have men's NCAA tournament going on, you know, so you can be one of those top teams to host as well. And I think prior to the Terrio injury, they were in that spot. And now being able to continue to prove to the NCAA committee that you are still a quality team without Rachel Terrio, you certainly know the fans are going to show up no matter what. I mean, that was an awesome NCAA region championship out there. You know, I think you're continuing to improve your NCAA tournament hopes and your NCAA tournament seeds.
Well, Maryland obviously has locked this thing up with such an impressive season. What are the couple of games that really are going to impact what happens the rest of the way here for conference seedings, NCAA here this weekend in the Big Ten?
Well, I think Ohio State is still a team that has a lot to play for. You mentioned it there, and they want to maintain a top four seed. You know, I think what Northwestern has done has been tremendous. Joe McEwen's team has just chipped away every single year, and the way that they battled and dominated Rutgers last night was truly impressive. And they're going to use the Maryland game as a measuring stick for themselves on Sunday. You know, Iowa's still playing again for a chance to improve their NCAA tournament seeding. Nobody wants to play on the first or second day. You want to get the double bye, and there are still plenty of teams that are playing for a double bye scenario.
Do you like that format?
I don't love the format, but I don't know what you would do to change it at this point. I think especially with the first year with 14 teams and trying to figure out, do you have a play-in game to the tournament? Do you not? Then how do you handle travel if you do have a play-in game? You know, I would prefer, if you're going to continue to have the same type of format, to have a day off before the championship. You know, but back in the old days when I was playing, we did have a day off before the championship game, and so it made for better basketball. It gave teams a chance to recover, you know, you're less injury. You know, I also am a proponent of moving the conference tournament, you know, back a week. Right now, the Big Ten and some of the other leagues as well, but you're at a disadvantage. You play the conference tournament, and then you sit for 2 weeks until the NCAA tournament. Anybody who's ever played knows that when you're in a rhythm and you're in a game rhythm, the last thing you want to do is take time to practice for two entire weeks before you head into the most important tournament of the year. So, you know, there's a lot of things that that could be changed and could maybe help the Big Ten Conference be more successful deep into the tournament, could maybe help teams and players recover a little bit more. You know, so I think it should always be open for discussion.
Talking here with Stephanie White, Big Ten analyst, won the national championship with Purdue in 1999. It looks like that line for this year's NCAA tournament is drawn right below Nebraska, 7 in, 7 out. Just your thoughts on the alma mater. They have been, they've had a tough season after being in the mix year after year after year. And I know a lot of people would like to see you back there at a Purdue uniform or a Purdue Purdue sideline in the future. But your thoughts on why they struggled so much this year.
Well, I think a few things. I think first and foremost, the league is a lot better. The coaches are a lot better. You know, you add to really three quality teams in the last 4 or 5 years when you think about Nebraska coming in now, Rutgers and Maryland, and what they've done. The league is deeper, and the talent pool is so much better. You know, I think Purdue doesn't have the level of talent that some of these other teams have, and then when you compound that with injuries and illness, which everybody has faced this year, you know, a lot of it's just about momentum, and momentum can carry you up and momentum can carry you down. And unfortunately, Purdue and Penn State, who has been successful as well, both being at the bottom of the league, have had some of that poor negative momentum. But, you know, just like anything, to me, it's cyclical. You know, some years you get the players, some years you don't. When you graduate a big class and you don't bring in a big class, you know, that tends to happen. But the margin for error is tightening, I believe, especially when you look at now Power Five conferences. Deeper conferences, you know, more athletic players, faster-paced leagues and faster-paced teams, I think the margin for error is very small, and it's going to take a while to build it back up.
Last minute here with Stephanie White, and I had to chuckle because I noticed that we must have had the same dream as youngsters. We wanted to be astronauts, and that sure the heck didn't happen. But you're now the coach of the Fever. What made you want to take that job? And, I mean, there's so much press going on now with some of the players not wanting to play with Taurasi and things like that going on. What's the state of the WNBA and what are you looking forward to with the Fever?
I think the league is still in good hands. You know, Diana Taurasi is in a unique situation because of the timing of where she is in her career. I mean, she's 34 years old. She's more in the twilight. She doesn't need to play. And her body probably needs a break. She plays at a very high level for 12 months out of the year, going on, 14 years now? I mean, that's a long time, and she's the exception to the rule in terms of how much money she's making as well. So I think hers is more of a timing thing with where she is in her career. There aren't a lot of players who have that option, whether it be financially or whether they need that option now. I mean, more of the players who are, you think, are making really good money, and Brittany Griner or Maya Moore, are still very young in their career, so I don't think they would choose to not play. I could be wrong. But the league is in a very good situation right now. I'm very excited about the opportunity with the Fever. I played for this franchise. Now to be able to coach it is a dream come true. You know, I played with Tamika Catchings, and now be able to coach her in the final 2 years of her career is a dream come true. And, I mean, we get to be in a gym every single day shooting a ball and talking hoops. I mean, you just can't beat that.
Who's your first draft pick going to be?
Gosh, I don't know. You know, we're at the mercy of everybody else. We got the 6th pick, so we'll have to see who goes. But it's an exciting time. You know, it's an exciting time for women's sports. Our league is continuing to grow. College sports are continuing to get better, and it's a great time to be a female athlete.
Finally, Stephanie, just a big kind of broad question here. I like what Northwestern, some of you got a couple teams. If Purdue's going to drop, you got to have a couple teams that kind of emerge from the bottom. Who do you think has the best chance that's not named Maryland to make a run here in the tournament?
You know, Ohio State to me is a scary team. They're a very scary team because of what they can do on the offensive end of the floor. You know, I think they're a team that you don't want to play. You have to look out for. I certainly like what Northwestern has done. I think Joe McEwen's team is learning how to win. You know, sometimes playing from behind can be dangerous, but they're learning how to win. And you know, I still wouldn't count out Minnesota. I like the pieces that they have. If they can find some consistency on the defensive end of the floor, their team. Who you certainly need to be aware of. It would not surprise me one bit to have a different champion at the tournament.
You can see her on the Big Ten Network covering a ton of games and giving us her analysis of Big Ten women's basketball. She'll be taking over the Indiana Fever, of course, when the WNBA season tips off. Stephanie White, national champ with Purdue. Thanks for giving us time on the Doug and Daddy Show. I hope we can do it again.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Would love to.